You're listening to Hearing Our Heritage, the podcast where we preserve the voices and stories of the older generation and make them accessible to younger ears. We pay tribute to those who have paved the way and learn from their lived experiences. I'm your host, Katie Pierce.
My name is Gloria Schaffer Melendez, and I was born in Tremont, Utah on January 23, 1932.
Gloria Melendez is one of the most beautiful, kind, positive, and resilient people I've ever known. She's had a fascinating life full of learning and travel. She's a devoted mother and grandmother and has been a faithful member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints her whole life, including serving three missions. Her story takes place all over the world, but has a common theme of life is good. Despite some serious hardships, she's chosen to be happy. We'll begin with her childhood, when Gloria lost her father at a young age. 2 years before he passed, he joined The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When Gloria was 8, she was baptized in the Logan Temple, and on the same day, their family was sealed.
We lived in Tremont. My father was a surgeon there and had a clinic hospital. And my favorite thing was to work with my father at the hospital. By the time I was 7, I was handing instruments to him for minor operations. I worshiped my father. He was the best thing in my life. And he passed away when I was 10 of cancer, bladder cancer. When I was 11, my mother moved to Mexico and my grandmother raised me and my three sisters. There were three girls born in 2.5 years. I was a year and 11 days younger than my older sister and a year and 7 months older than my next sister. And then after 7 more years, my little sister was born. So my mother had 4 girls. And then when she lived in Mexico, she had 2 more girls. So she had 6 girls. So we had great times. And we went to South Davis Junior High and then Davis High School. When I was in high school, I wrote the assemblies and I did some ballroom dancing with a classmate on the traveling assembly and things like that. I just did funny stuff, imitated movie stars and did things like that. I was vice president of the junior class and president of the Girls Association when I was a senior. And I dated the captain of the football team. He was a doll. Anyway, I felt like I was popular with the girls. I loved that. And I dated. So I guess I was okay. And then I went to the University of Utah and into pre-med because my father always counted on my being a doctor. And I was 1 year in pre-med and ran out of funds. So I went to work at Hanford Works in Richland, Washington for a year in a chemistry lab. And then I came back and decided I couldn't do that every other year. And I had to declare a major. So I opened the catalog and anthropology was the first word. So I registered to major in anthropology. I loved it. And I graduated in anthropology. And in the meantime, I had visited my mother in Mexico several times for 2 or 3 months and had acquired Spanish. And I taught Spanish at the University of Utah to help put myself through, along with 2 or 3 other jobs that I had while I was going to school. And then when I graduated, I got a Fulbright scholarship. They offered for the first time a scholarship to Latin America, and I applied with 8,000 other people, but I was selected, I think, because of my Spanish. And so I went to Chile to study anthropology. And when I got to the university there, there was no anthropology major, so I studied Chilean history, geography, literature, everything else about Chile that I could. And there was a group of amateur archaeologists, doctors and lawyers and things who did a little work, and I got connected with them. And thanks to that, I was able to go to Easter Island and do some work. I say I couldn't study anthropology, but I did manage to find the missing link, and I married him. I met my husband in Chile, Mario Melendez, and his mother's maiden name was Craig, so they do that in Chile. So it was Mario Melendez Craig. His grandfather was from Scotland. He shipwrecked off the Chilean coast and stayed, and he married there. And well, we met at a place called Cerro Santa Lucia. It's a little hill in Santiago, and there's a restaurant at the top. And one night I went to a dinner for the Chilean North American Institute, which is, they teach English to Chilenos, and the Americans have a place to go. So I went to that dinner and dance, and they sat me by Mario, and I fell in love with him as soon as I danced with him, but I loved to dance. And so, and my husband was a wonderful dancer. We cleared the floor many times. But there was a revolution right at that time. They were tipping over buses and things like that. He found a way to get over to the dormitory where I lived, and we were able to visit, and we couldn't go out very much because of the revolution. It lasted a week or two. So we dated, and then when I got ready to come home, we exchanged rings. It's a band, but you put on your right hand, and that's engaged. So we did that formally in front of his mother and some other people and his brother and his wife. And then I came home. I was teaching Spanish at the U while he was down there. And then he came just before Christmas, and we were married on the 29th of December. So that was in 57. And then we went back to Chile. We went from here to Mexico to the border in a car with some friends. We got on a bus in at the border and went down to my mother's place in a bus. We took a train over to Veracruz. We flew to Cuba, and then we took a ship, a British liner, from Cuba to Chile. And then they were waiting for us when we got off the boat, and then we drove to Santiago. And he had already contracted for an apartment, so we had a place to go. And about a year and a half later, we had our first baby, and I just loved it. Bunny was born in 59. It's the best thing in my life. Mark is the second, and Mark in 61. And when Mark was 6 months old, we came up to the States, and we were here when Terry was born. Terry was born in Provo, and he served his mission in Chile, so that was nice. And then after Terry was born, we went back to Chile, and Holly and Patsy were born there. So four of the five were born in Chile, and the other one did his mission there. So they're all Chilenos. They were raised in a bilingual, bicultural, bireligious home. My husband was Catholic. Every minute with my children was a joy. People used to say, oh, you sacrifice so much for them. Forget it. You know, we would put big long strips of butcher paper down on the floor and put spaghettis and macaronis and draw pictures and do stuff like that and sing. And I would be knitting all the time. And we'd just have great times. I got to ride on a bus with them to school when Buddy and Mark started school there. And they were at the LDS school. So it was quite a ways away, and I'd be knitting a sleeve, and by the time I'd get home, I'd have to take some out. So anyway, it was just great. I mean, those years with my kids are the best years of my life. We were poor, but they knew they were loved. That was all I could give them, was just love, and they just had so much of that. We praised them. You know, they were capable. They did. We told them all the good reports from school and all the good things about themselves, tried to make them feel good about themselves, because I had been brought up not feeling good about myself. We were back and forth between the United States and Chile so my husband could study here and do other things. He was a professor at a university there, but he wanted to get another degree up here, so we did that. When Patsy was 9 months old and weighed, I think, 30 pounds, I came back alone with the five children on a plane from Santiago to Mexico City. I remember they were all dressed for winter, and I had to take all the boys' sweaters and things off and have shots for, or else pay big money, and I didn't have big money, so they gave them these shots. And my mother was supposed to meet us in Mexico City, and she was sitting out in the parking lot asleep in her car, and I sat there for 3 hours with those kids with a big steamer trunk and five little children running around with two warm clothes on, and it was a horrible experience. But then we finally got with her, and we went over to Puebla to her home, and then we drove up to the States, me with five kids. By the time he came up here, I had a car and a home, and I had him registered in school and was sitting in on some of his classes when I could. And then he came up and got into school, and then we found a home in Orem, and then after that I started teaching.
At that time, Gloria was teaching junior high school Spanish. She loved teaching, but what she loved even more was raising her five amazing kids.
They're all perfect, and all my children are 2 years apart. Bunny is the oldest, and she was born on Easter. I had a friend in college named Bunny Merrill, and so since she was born on Easter, I said, let's name her Bunny. I just loved it. I used to sing to her, and she was so bright. She was amazing. She mixed up English and Spanish for fun. And she used to call watermelon agua melón, which is a literal translation. She knew sandía, but she said agua melón. I mean, she was just bright, you know, smart like that. And Bunny took guitar lessons. And so the kids would sit by there and watch her. And sometimes they'd join in singing with her on the guitar. Bunny met her husband when she got back from her mission. He had been on a mission in Peru also, but in a different mission. And they had been in high school together, but they really didn't know each other. And they met at a high school reunion and got back together. And that's how they got married. And we had a big wedding in the backyard with mariachis. And oh, it was so fun. And of course, their dad came for all the weddings and all the things like that. He couldn't go to the temple with them, but he was always in the waiting room at the temple. And Bunny lives in Monroe and has four children, six grandchildren, and she and her husband are musicians, and she's an artist, and, well, they just do wonderful things. Mark is the second, and Mark had his own language. Only he and I could understand what he was talking about. Then got a scholarship to Cornell University, was studying electrical engineering when he decided to go on a mission. They told him, well, if you go, you probably won't get your scholarship back. And he went anyway. When he got back, they gave him the scholarship back, and he graduated in electrical engineering, but he didn't like it. So he taught calculus at Provo High for a while. And then he married, and he wrote a book, a manual, to teach calculus with a calculator, and that sold pretty much. They were using it in the Dominican Republic when I was there. And then he took the DAT and got into dental school without taking the classes. And he graduated in dentistry, and he's a really good dentist. But he lives in Maine, and he is married to a wonderful wife. And they have seven children and 15 grandchildren and a great-grandchild. So I'm a great-great. And we love to go back and visit them in Maine and eat lobster and have good fun. My third child is Terry. I always tell this. When Patsy was born, Holly was two, and Terry went around the neighbors saying, we've got a new baby. Do you want to buy an old one? And when he was tiny, when we first got down there, he'd pick up the telephone and put it over his shoulder and say, alo, alo. So Mario has a cousin there that calls him little alo, alo. Terry married Susie and met her at the airport just before we went on a study abroad to Mexico that I took down there. Her sister and her husband went with us, and Terry went with us. So, and then when he got back, her sister set him up with Susie. And that was funny because when they got married, Terry has a super young face. When he was doing his internship, ladies would say, I'm not going to have that kid deliver my baby. So he and Susie got married, and they went to this hotel. They had a reservation at this hotel, and they wouldn't let them in. They thought they were teenagers. So they had to call the folks, and the folks had to speak for them. And we went to medical school and had one baby while they were in medical school, and one while he was in the internship, and then one after they got back here to practice. So he's an OBGYN. He retired, and they're living in St. George. And he teaches at the medical school in Ivins. And Susie is an artist. She makes jewelry. And they have three children and one granddaughter, and they're expecting a second grandchild. Then comes Holly. She was born on Christmas Day. I remember that on Christmas Eve in Chile, we were downtown looking in the windows at the Santa Clauses in the summer, and I went into labor. And so we went home, and the lady that we rented the house from lived in a little house next to us. And I called her early in the morning and said, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. So we got the kids up and opened the gifts, and then I went to the hospital, and Holly was born that afternoon. That was a fun Christmas. But when Holly was little, we finally got a television, and they used to watch television, and she would stand by the couch before she could walk and stand by the couch and say, Batman, and Holly was dating another kid, but she dated Floyd, and they just decided to get married. So they did, and he was in construction, and she was a teacher. She taught at the middle school, and she and her husband live in Provo. They are family history workers and temple workers and do all kinds of wonderful things like that. Holly taught for 35 years at a middle school, and now she's retired. And they have three children. They have a lovely family. Patsy, she was tiny, and she was just a joy, just so happy. And she, when she was in kindergarten, remember, she just mothered all the other kids. And she was always a loving child. And just a joy to me. And we bought a tent trailer, used tent trailer, and we would go out to the desert and look for geodes and arrowheads and do rock hunting. And Patsy hated it, but the rest of it, she likes to glamp. She doesn't like to camp. But we had great times up there. It was fun. And Patsy and Craig, that was a real story. Craig was on his mission in Viña del Mar, and Mario went down to see Terry in his mission in Santiago. And he went Mark to visit his brother, and he somehow met Craig while he was there. So Mario met him first. Then Craig returned from his mission, and he was in my class in Spanish. And while he was in my class in Spanish, he got to be friendly with Terry. And then he saw Patsy on campus, and she saw him, and it was love at first sight. He said, Terry, there's this girl I really want to meet. And Terry looked at him and said, who is she? He says, that girl right over there. And he said, oh, she's my sister. So that's how he met Patsy. And they have four darling children, this great-grandson. Craig was an endodontist, and he's retired, and they have four children. And they do fun things like travel, and Craig's into a lot of sports. And Patsy does compassionate work. Patsy and Holly are really into service. And, well, all the children are service-oriented, empathetic, and wonderful that way. So that's my kids, and oh, they're so great. And they went on missions and were married in the temple, and so I feel so good about their spiritual lives.
Although she was married, Gloria really raised those five kids almost entirely on her own. And eventually, she had to choose her life over staying in an unhealthy marriage.
He never picked up a sock or dried a dish or changed a diaper. That was all women's work. And so I kept house. I raised those kids. He did say that it was my job to raise them, so he let them go to church and things, you know. He was wonderful, but he just had this sickness, and he just couldn't get over, and I couldn't live with it. Chilean husbands, by nature, are jealous. And he had got this idea that I was sleeping with the butcher and the baker and all the professors at the Y. And so he would travel some. And they thought I was doing all this stuff while he was gone. And he made myself miserable. It was a mental cruelty that I just couldn't. It destroyed my health because I just took it until I just couldn't live with it. I had to make a choice. Chose to be there for my kids. That's what the doctor said. Your children need you so badly. I stuck it out for 25 years. You know, I did the best I could. I went to a psychiatrist and he just said, "What would you like? What would you like to do?" And I said, "I'd like to study forever. I'd like to go back to school." And so he said, "Do it." And so I applied at the Y. I didn't have money, but I applied at the Y and applied for a scholarship. And they gave me a scholarship and I applied for the master's program and I was interviewed and they put me in the doctoral program. So I studied and got my doctorate and taught at the same time. So I was making money. I was able to keep three kids on a mission at the same time.
That's the thing about Gloria. She was met with such horrible circumstances, and yet she pulled through for her kids. She created a beautiful, happy life for her and her family, and part of that was helping her oldest three serve missions.
Bunny went first, and her dad said, "You've got to tell her she can't go." And I said, "You've got to tell her she can't go. I'm sorry, but I can't tell her that." And he wouldn't. So she went, and she went to Peru. And while she was on her mission, Mark decided he wanted to go. And Mario had a fit, but he went, and he went to Ecuador. And then while he was on his mission, just 3 or 4 months from coming home, Terry was old enough to go. And so Terry decided to go on a mission, and he went to Chile. And this is a fun thing. When Mark went on his mission, they let him stop in Peru and tracked with Bunny for a week. It was so fun. And then he went on to his mission. And then when Mark finished his mission, his president let him go down and be with Terry for 2 weeks. Now I'll tell you a miracle story. Oh, dear. Mark and Terry were tracking. And they were in the neighborhood where we grew up. So they went to see our house. They knocked on the door and the lady let them go in and go up and see their rooms and things like that. And then she said, "You're Mormons. There's a Mormon lady that lives over on the other street, Mrs. Mutis." They said, "Sister Mutis." They remembered the name from when they were little. So they went over to her house and knocked on the door. And she came to the door and she said, "Hello, elders. How are you doing?" And they said, "We're Terry and Mark Melendez, and we came to see our house and we wanted to say hi to you." And she said, "Wait just a minute." She left them standing on the porch and she went in, closed the door, and they said that. Pretty soon she came back with a piece of paper in her hand, and it had two stick figures with books in their hands. And she said, "Do you remember you gave this to me and said, this is us when we're missionaries?" Those are the things that are just so special, you know? So the kids were all able to see each other while they were on their missions. That was just the highlight.
Gloria had a very fulfilling and successful career teaching at BYU. She's so good at Spanish and knows so much about Latin American literature, amongst other things, and she got to share it all with her students. In fact, a linguistics professor was asking other professors where she was from. When they told him North America, he didn't believe them. He couldn't quite place her accent due to the mixture of Mexican and Chilean Spanish, but she was just that good. Also, as a side note, cute humble Gloria asked me not to share that part. She's far too modest to want anyone to brag about her, but I really just couldn't help myself. Everyone needs to know what an amazing professor she was.
I taught at the Y. I taught for 25 years. I taught Latin American literature there while I was studying anthropology. I studied Aztec language, Nahuatl. And so I kept that up and taught a little of that to some of my students and at the Y, and I loved that. And I loved my students, and I loved teaching. I loved that. Oh, my life was so happy. It was just wonderful. I still am in touch with so many of my students, and we just had great times. That very first year I started teaching, I took 31 kids to Spain for 3 months. And they said, I went all alone. After that, I learned that when the guys go, they take their wife and their kids and everything. Well, I did take Terry, but I had to pay for him to go. And then a friend of mine went with us, the lady that lived in Chile next to us. She was a member of the church. And she went with us, Tia Marina. And so I was alone with all the teaching. And they were with me to help her kids. And it was so fun. It was a great experience. We went to Salamanca and lived with families. And they studied at the university. I mean, we had our classes at the university. And they took some classes from teachers there. And after that, I went to Mexico probably 5 times with study abroad. Chile, 3 times. I don't know, but I was the number one study abroad person.
Another fact Gloria didn't want me to share is that she won Teacher of the Year 7 years in a row. She was so beloved by her students.
My kids love me because I love them. I used to take homemade biscuits and jam to the final exams. They would come to my home, and it was wonderful. I was alone by then, and I could be me. I hadn't looked up for so many years until I started back to school and got my confidence back, got myself back.
Gloria has worked in the temple for 19 years, and that includes 3 different temple missions all over the world. She found so much enjoyment in serving, meeting others, speaking many different languages, and traveling.
I can do the ordinances in 6 or 7 languages. I love languages. And so when I went on my missions, I had in Switzerland, once in a while, we'd get somebody in Spanish, but it was mostly English, French, and Italian. And then when I went to the Dominican Republic, it was French and Spanish. And then in Madrid, it was Spanish and Portuguese and Italian and French. And it was so fun doing the ordinances in many different languages. Was just great. I love temple missions because you can see family and you can travel and you can do so many things. Switzerland was fabulous. I had a friend who went at the same time. Her name was Arlene Smith. We had apartments just across from each other at the place where the missionary stayed. We got to be really good friends. Arlene and I traveled a lot. Every time the 2-week thing came around, we were in Austria and Italy and Germany and France and all over the place. And after our mission in Switzerland, we went to Africa together, and we went to Australia and New Zealand together, and we went to Canada together and San Diego, and we took several trips together like that. While I was in Switzerland, Holly and Floyd came to see me in Switzerland, so that was fun too. And I just loved that mission. I loved my temple presidents. We were always so wonderful. And I remember in Switzerland, President Schliemann interviewed me, and I said, "No, I don't keep the word of wisdom. I drink Diet Coke." And he said, "Oh, I just had one. It was so good." And so that took care of that. But in Switzerland, the high point for me was the languages. I just loved doing the ordinances in the languages, and the temple was gorgeous, and there was such a beautiful spirit there. And I had a dear friend that I still am in contact with. She was a librarian, and her boy was dyslexic, I remember, and I gave him Harry Potter in German to give him practice reading, you know, and so all the people I met there, and we had reunions for years afterward, and it was wonderful. When I went to the Dominican Republic, that was a marvelous mission too, and there was a taxi driver there that took us everywhere. Antonio, and he was a member of the church. Antonio and his wife would love to come over and eat, and so that was fun. I went to their home a lot, and while I was there, he and his wife were married in the temple and had their kids sealed to him, and I'm still dear friends with Antonio and his family, and there weren't many places to go, but I just enjoyed that mission so much. I loved the climate. It was hot and muggy, but my fingernails grew, and my skin was so soft, and my hair was straight, and I just loved that mission. And my temple president, Brother Coombs, he and his wife were just so sweet and dear, and he was such a spiritual man, and just, oh my goodness, the meetings we had with him were just thrilling. And I had a big apartment there because I was the only one of the missionaries that spoke French. And so when the Haitian people would come in the night, someone had to get them into their rooms, and I could do that. I didn't speak their Creole, but I could make myself understood and get them to where they needed to go. So I had this big apartment with 2 beds in the bedroom and a big kitchen. I used to make mole. I remember Mexican mole and have people over. And so that was fun. And I was in the Dominican Republic. This is another miracle. I had a strangulated hernia and had to have surgery. And the hospital was horrible. They didn't have a nurse. They put an IV in my hand and it slipped. So my hand was all swollen up. It was just awful. And Antonio's wife was a nurse and came by and took care of that. She would bring me food and things like that. It was just awful. But when they released me and I went back to my apartment the next day, Terry and one of his daughters and Holly came by and came into my room. And they didn't know I was sick, and I didn't know they were coming. And so I got to see them. And so that was a real miracle. I got better immediately. It just felt so good. And London and Kami, her cousin, came over to see me while I was there. And I thought they were going to die. The heat was just too much for them. Then when I went to Madrid, I traveled with Holly and Floyd. And when I got to Madrid, right after I got there, the temple closed for 2 weeks, and I went on a cruise with Patsy and her family over to the Mediterranean. The ward we were in was mostly Latin Americans, expatriated, looking for work. And so that was beautiful, and the languages were wonderful, and I got to travel with Patsy. And then Holly and her daughter came to see me in the break, and we went up to the north and into France a little bit and traveled with Holly and Hannah. You can see that travel during my missions was a great thing. I love travel. I never have felt out of place. I don't know what homesick means. Every year for my birthday, I take my kids on a trip. Last year, we went to Hawaii on a cruise, and this year, we're going to Cancun. It's save up all year to be able to take my kids. That's my big present is to be with my kids.
Outside of her missions, Gloria has had many amazing adventures.
One of my favorite trips was South Africa with my friend. We went on a tour, started in Johannesburg, and then we went north and we did a jeep safari, and that was amazing. I remember seeing so many elephants and things that pretty soon you just said, oh yeah, giraffe, oh yeah, zebras. And I remember that the giraffes were so tall. I'd seen them in zoos, but they were so giant. And we saw lions lying across the road one night when we went out on the jeep, and we had to wait for him to get up and move away. And he just kept saying, keep your hands inside, keep your hands inside. And we were in Tanzania and at a beautiful motel, and they had glass sliding doors, and there were tons of baboons. And they said, don't feed the baboons. Well, me, you know me, I had a bag of dried cranberries. And so I stood at the door and tossed out some cranberries, and I didn't see it. But here comes this great big baboon, and he grabs the package and goes up in the tree. I'm sure he died. I'm sure they swelled up and scared me to death. That was a wonderful, wonderful trip. Oh, I loved Australia and New Zealand too, especially the outback. We had a bushman for a guide at what they call Ayers Rock. Uluru is called in the native language, and it had rock paintings and things like that. I still have this anthropology, archaeology thing going around in my head, too, so I love things like that.
Gloria is so faithful and has a beautiful testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I am converted to families being together. I've had some beautiful experience with families being sealed in temples where absent members were there, and where members who had passed on were there. Children have seen them. But my greatest testimony is that Heavenly Father hears my prayers. When I was despondent, I said, if you could just touch me. And I felt His arm around me. I did. I feel like I'm in touch with Him all the time. Little tiny things, He answers my prayers immediately. And when I need to wait, I try to be patient because I know there's a reason for it if I need to wait for an answer. So that's my greatest testimony. I know that President Nelson is a prophet of God, and I've known so many prophets ever since Heber J. Grant when I was a little girl, and have felt their mantle. And the Book of Mormon, I feel the truth of it, and know that Joseph Smith was chosen person to restore the church, and that his humanness helped to make him great, helped to make keep him humble. My testimony is just me. My children are my life. My grandchildren are a great part of that. I have wonderful memories of my life, of all my life, from starting with my dad till now, you know. I love every day of life. I just love life. Oh, my goodness. Life is important to me, but I'm ready to give it up anytime. I've had my share of blessings, so many blessings. I'm so blessed. I think a big thing in life is forgiveness. When you can forgive and be totally free of any bad feelings toward anybody, it's great. I just say, just remember that life is good, that if things look bad at this point, just remember they're going to look better. Oh, if I could just tell that to people who are like considering suicide, if you know, if you'll just hang in there, things get better. I've been there, and I know that things can be beautiful if you just hold on and have faith and have someone to go to, like Heavenly Father, that He's the one that will get us through. We can't be perfect, but the atonement fills in the blanks. And so I'm hoping for forgiveness on that end. And just remember that life is good.
Life is good. And if there was ever a life that taught us this, it would be the life of Gloria Melendez. Her love for her kids, grandkids, her students, for helping others, and for the Savior has been evident through it all. No matter what country she's in, what language she's speaking, or what trials have been thrown her way, she has chosen happiness. A huge thank you to the Smith family for purchasing this episode, and to Gloria for letting me interview her. Gloria, I hope you can forgive me for including things you didn't want included, but trust me when I say your kids and grandkids want to know. If there's someone that you would like to have featured on Hearing Our Heritage, email hearingourheritage@gmail.com or visit our website at hearingourheritage.com.